Hello everyone, happy new year and happy transfer window. Welcome back to the Mouth of the Time podcast brought to you by Shields Gazette. I'm Dominic Skirt and I'm joined here as ever by Joe Book. Joe, first podcast of 2022, happy new year. How has the new year been treating you so far?
Happy new year, Dom. It's been really good. It's for once at Newcastle, we've got stuff to talk about and in January transfer land, so it's been exciting times.
Yeah, and obviously a busy opening week to the transfer window. Like you say, the first time we've sort of had such a busy opening week in January for Newcastle, certainly in the past few years. Anyway, how are you feeling about it all with Kieran Trippier's arrival imminent, should we say? Perhaps by the time this podcast goes out, it may have already been announced. How are you feeling about everything?
Yeah, I mean, Trippier, it's such an exciting signing, isn't it? Like, to think about, if we head back to the summer window and how that ended, you know, failing to get even Hamza Choudhury over the line because of the loan fee. And then to think now we're sat with a takeover and potentially getting one of, well, probably one of the world's best fullbacks. You know, there's some decent fullbacks in the world, don't get me wrong, but Trippier, you know, is right up there. It's just an exciting sign. And to convince someone who's probably, wouldn't necessarily in his peak, but maybe just off the peak, to switch a Champions League side like Atletico Madrid to come to Newcastle, who were 19th, I think that's just a massive statement.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Yeah, and I mean, we're recording this Thursday lunchtime. I'll just check. Kieran Trippier, yet to be announced as a Newcastle player, but probably expecting it to be announced at some point today. And I agree with you, Joe. I think it's as good a start to the transfer window as we could have expected, really, from Newcastle signing an England international. Not just that, he's an England regular during what is probably been the most relatively successful period for England in yours or my lifetime, really. And he's played a key role in that. Obviously, his goal in the World Cup in 2018, everyone remembers that, assist in the Euro 2020 final. And obviously, he's played in the Champions League final, won La Liga with Atletico Madrid. And I agree with you in the fact that probably in the top five, top 10 right-backs in the world, really. And I don't think that's over-exaggerating. And I think it's probably the big marquee name the club needed to sort of kick-start the window. And they've done it in the opening week of the window, acted quickly. And I think last time on the podcast, we were talking about a risk if Newcastle didn't act quickly, or if the first signing was maybe a bit of an underwhelming one, it could have a knock-on effect. But I think this could have a knock-on effect in a positive way, where more players will see that signing and maybe tempted to jump into the project at Newcastle, where obviously the immediate goal is to stay in the Premier League. So just, what sort of effect do you think this transfer will have, and what do you see being next for Newcastle in the transfer window? What are their next targets, would you say?
I'm having a look on social media. I think everyone is excited about this transfer. I don't think I've ever seen any one negative complaint at all, really, from Newcastle fans. I think the only sticking price when it was discussed a few weeks ago was maybe the price. I think there was figures about 25, 30 million sort of touted around. Now, if the reports are true, that it's only going to be 12 million with add-ons, yes, but if his initial fee is only 12 million, I think that's a real bargain. And you're not, with Trippier, you're not just getting a great player, like we said, because he is a great player. You're also getting a great mentality. I know Gareth Southgate described him as a warrior during the Euros, you know, and he's been at Burnley. He's been at the lower end of the Premier League, let's say, so he knows how to deal with the current situation Newcastle find themselves in. And I think that's going to be a great sort of mould going forward of who Newcastle should look for. In terms of what they need to do now, first they need to get the signing done, which I assume everyone, you know, everyone knows it's done. As you say, by the time we're off, finish recording this, it might be completed. But then I think you need to get Trippier signed and then just continue on, press on with your other signings. Just keep at it, because I think if you take your foot off the gas, even for a little bit, that's when other teams might swoop in. Like, we've seen Trippier potentially link with Chelsea or Manchester United sort of this window, and that's always a worry, because Newcastle do find themselves in 19th place. I think they just need to keep going, keep trying to get all these players in, and just try and build for that Watford game or that Leeds game in a couple of weeks, because they're two huge games this in the scope of the season.
Yeah, it's striking while lying is hot. And that Watford game becomes more important with the fact that their game against Burnley, who obviously down there has just been rearranged for just a few days after the Newcastle-Watford game on the 15th. So that could be a potentially decisive week in Newcastle's season. But some news today on Callum Wilson's calf injury. He obviously does his Footballers Football podcast on BBC, and he was saying he doesn't really know how long he'll be out for. Picture should become more clear next week. He could be out for maybe a month or so, 6 weeks, best case scenario. The worst case scenario, it could effectively end his season early. So how big a blow would that be to Newcastle, Joe? I think it goes without saying, really, with him being Newcastle's top scorer, but will have an impact on the transfer window, I'm sure, as well.
Absolutely, it's huge. Like, there's very few strikers in the whole Premier League that guarantee goals like Callum Wilson does, and especially in the bottom end of the table where we are. It does impact, because I think going into this window, I think fans would have maybe said, would like a striker, but that would be a bit of a luxury. You know, if we could get one, that would be good. Now, I think it's pretty much desperate that we need one. You know, Dwight Gayle is there. He's clearly not sort of preferred by Eddie Howe. He hasn't been preferred by many managers in Newcastle, so I do think a striker is needed, but there's not that many strikers around, and especially in January, it's going to be very tough to find someone as good as Callum Wilson to replace. I can't, even thinking about names, I can't really think of any that you can guarantee will come in and think, right, he's going to get, you know, 5-10 goals that will keep up.
Yeah, I guess it's been Aubameyang linked. He's probably a long stretch, obviously, is with Gabon in the Africa Cup of Nations, recently tested positive for COVID as well. So, but he's probably the only one who a name has been linked where you're like, yeah, he would probably get us goals, but obviously a lot of questions surrounding him potentially as well.
Absolutely. It's one of the ones where Aubameyang is probably a good calibre of player to bring in, but as we mentioned, is the right attitude, is it the type of player we want, that, you know, and then you've got the wage issue. So I think there's a lot of things to consider in January, but as you say, Callum Wilson's going to be a huge miss, and this will be the major test of recruitment. They've seemed to have got their defender targets in a line, which we'll talk about later, but the strikeout option really needs to be nailed down.
Yeah, that's what goals will keep you in the Premier League, and keeping them out at the other end, obviously, very important too. Like you say, another name linked with Newcastle today, this week, past few weeks really, Lucas Digne from Everton, out of favour there under Rafa Benitez, available potentially this window. Newcastle clearly interested in him, the left back, but understanding that he'd perhaps prefer a move elsewhere. Is he someone, Joe, that you'd like to see Newcastle push the boat out for, or do you think move on and look at other targets?
For me, early on in this window, I feel that if he doesn't want to come, then I think they should just move on. I think that they need players who want to play for the club, who want, you know, get their hands dirty, get stuck in. And you can't really blame some players for turning their nose up at Newcastle, currently 19th, one win in 18 games. So you can't whinge at that. But I do think that if there isn't a left back brought in by, you know, a couple of weeks' time, and Dean is still available, they might have to go back to, you know, swallow a bit of pride and say, right, this is, you know, we're going to come back in for you, because Newcastle need, I would say, at least 3 or 4 defenders in there. Trippier looks like one. They need a couple more. And with the big miss for me is Jamal Lewis. He looked good under Eddie Howe before his injury. And so missing him is a big miss. So they definitely need left back, whether it's Dean or not. But again, I'm going to say like this most the podcast, but I don't know how many left backs there are out there. I mean, you know, Dean's Premier League quality, he's shown that. He's international quality. I don't know how many would be up to his ability.
Yeah, I agree. I think a French international, someone who's won La Liga with Barcelona even, and really sort of established himself in the Premier League, reasons why he's out of favour at Everton, not particularly clear, but Rafa Benitez, we know, is that type of manager. If he doesn't like a player, he can sort of freeze them out, but that's potentially one to keep an eye on. But I think at this stage, it's unlikely as it stands. But sticking with Everton, reports have been that Newcastle midfielder Sean Longstaff has been subject to a bid from the Liverpool-based side, which Newcastle have rejected. Sean Longstaff's obviously out of contract in the summer. Newcastle hoping to agree a new deal with a 24-year-old midfielder. Joe, what would you sort of like to see happen with Sean Longstaff this window or moving forward?
It's a weird one, because when he first emerged under Benitez a few years ago, he seemed like the next big thing. You know, Man U were linked with £50 million moves. And at that time, there was him and Declan Rice. There was a game against West Ham where they played against each other, and it was very much Longstaff v Rice. And I think Longstaff got injured that game. And obviously, as we've seen, one's career has completely took off, and Longstaff hasn't. So, and we haven't really seen him much under Eddie Howe. I know he played well against Man U, but again, his performance in midfield was overshadowed by Joe Linton in midfield, and you know, that's not Joe Linton's position. So it is an awkward one. I'd like to see local talent given a go, but whether he's shown enough in the last couple of seasons to deserve a new contract, I'm not sure. I wouldn't like to see him go to Everton in January. I feel like as much as we can't get a transfer free from now, I don't think it would be such a big loss if I lost him on a free in summer. I think that losing Longstaff now would strengthen Everton, and I just wouldn't want to see Everton getting strengthened by one of our players. What do you feel about Longstaff? So obviously, it has been a weird time for him recently in Newcastle.
Yeah, I like Sean Longstaff. I thought the games I've seen of him this season, he's been up and down, but I think, like you alluded to before, the Manchester United game, I thought he was one of Newcastle's better players in the game. He obviously tired towards the end, but he played a key role in the goal scored by Alan St-Maximin. So I think he's got something to offer at Newcastle. He's still young. He's obviously from that area, which is always nice to see. He's 24 now. It's sort of a period in your career where you either have to sort of really dig in and prove yourself. He's not a young player anymore. He needs to be delivering on a consistent basis. But I think I'd offer him a new deal, personally. Whether he plays a key role in Newcastle from here on out for the rest of the season, I'm not sure. But certainly as a squad player, I think he has something to offer. He can score goals from midfield potentially, especially if he plays in that sort of advanced number 10 role. But I think what we saw in the Man U game against a top quality Premier League side, should we say, or at least a decent level Premier League side in Man U, who obviously weren't at the best. But alongside Joe Linton, like you say, sort of just helped Newcastle dominate that midfield, and they deserve to win that game. And I think Sean Longstaff was a big reason because of that. But that's only one game for him. He needs to build on that, keep going, and show Eddie Howe that he deserves a new deal. And hopefully, at least in my opinion, he'll sign one, because I don't think him going to Everton this month would be good, particularly good business for Newcastle, unless they come in with a stupid offer for a player who is out of contract in the summer. But I guess we'll move on from that. Hopefully we'll see more positive news from Sean Longstaff moving forward. And another name linked. I feel like it's just reading off a list of names, really, at the moment. We've had so many names linked with Newcastle the past few weeks. But Sven Botman from Lille, he's been a name doing the rounds for well over a month now. AC Milan obviously also interested in him. Hasn't been any real progress so far, Joe, in terms of signing. What's the latest you're hearing from various sources, should we say?
Well, it seems that Botman is clearly of interest in Newcastle. And as you mentioned, AC Milan or the other team that's been linked with him, because I think, is it Simon Kier was injured earlier this season? I think they see him as a replacement for him. But it looks like Lille are probably unwilling to sell, especially in January, I would guess. They don't want to lose one of their main players who helped them to the title last year. So I'd guess that Lille will probably hold on and try and get as much money from Newcastle as possible. I think there's price tags of sort of 30 million being talked about. That is a lot, but you know, Botman is a young player. As I said, he won Liga with Lille last year, so he has got championship mentality. He knows how to win big games. But it'll be interesting to see if they can get that over the line, because I think, again, that'll be the real test of how willing they are to do a deal. You know, they've clearly seen Botman as one of the players they want It's whether they're going to pay the asking fee that's required and whether they hold their nerve for that, whether they stretch it out to the end of the window. I do think this will probably be one that runs till the end of the window. I can't see him coming in the next couple of weeks, and maybe the money that they're offering might end, you know, eventually tempt Lille into selling.
Yeah, I think you're right there. Lille obviously still in the Champions League, and I think they're sort of trying to test the water with Newcastle a little bit, where they're naming certain figures, trying to sort of coerce them into a deal. But yeah, I think this is one that will probably run on for a few weeks yet, and just want to keep an eye on. We'll see what happens there. But nice to see Newcastle sort of keep an eye on things and going for these type of players. Sven Botman, obviously a top defender in terms of a young defender in Europe at only 21, but another defender and slightly older, but a Europa League winner with Sevilla, Diego Carlos. Newcastle made a bid for him, which has been turned down by Sevilla. It's a transfer blow of sorts, but it's this activity 1 week into the window, Joe, we're already seeing Newcastle making bids, getting out there and trying to bring players in. It's exciting, really.
It absolutely is. It's, as much as it has been rejected, it is a promising move that we're not going to be sat here in a couple of weeks listening to the owners of previous owners going, oh, we couldn't get over the line after making, you know, a last minute bid, where actually they're getting targets, they're making bids for them, and they're working out exactly what's wanted from each club. I think that's a very positive move. And it then means if there is no way a deal for, you know, Carlos or Botman or whoever else can be met, then they can move on to other targets quickly, and they're not scrabbling around on deadline day thinking, oh, we've waited all month to get this deal, we thought it would be done, and now we haven't, so we need, you know, we need to start on other targets. So it's a shame that it's been rejected, but they might go in again, we don't know. But yeah, you're right, it is a promising sign to see them making moves so early on in the market.
Yeah, it's just being proactive. It's something that the club has sort of lacked for years under Mike Ashley. It's just reactive signings or signings that just never came off, particularly in January. I mean, the lack of action, I think you said on the previous podcast, since the 2016 window where they sort of desperately scrambled to stay in the league. And I guess they signed Miguel Almiron in January as well. But
even deals like that were, you know, that was a deadline day deal, wasn't it? It was talked about for weeks and then they only got it done on deadline day. So, yeah, it's just nice to see them getting in early.
Yeah, and moving on, hopefully we'll have Kieran Trippier in the building for this game. Next up for Newcastle is Cambridge United in the FA Cup at St James's Park. Cambridge, obviously, newly promoted to League One this season, currently 16th in the table. On paper, it should be a comfortable win for Newcastle, but we've seen in recent years Newcastle do love to slip on a banana skin in the cup competitions. Joe, how would you like to see Eddie Howe approach this game?
I'd like to see Eddie Howe put a full strength team. Imagine it was a Premier League game, whatever team you'd put out for that, then put it in. They've had a week and a bit since the Man U game. They're going to have another week till the game against Watford. For me, just treat it like a normal game. Just try and get momentum into that side. Try and get the side remembering what it's like to win games. Obviously, I would depend on the injury to Alan St-Maximin. He would be the only one I think I wouldn't be tempted to rest. But other than that, I'd be putting a full strength team and trying to get it, try and get the game won. And if they can, try and get it won early. So then they've got the luxury by, you know, 60th or 70th minute to be able to bring off some of their, you know, first team players in order to keep them fresh for Watford. Naturally, I don't want to, you know, take Cambridge too lightly, because that sounds like I'm just going to, you know, Newcastle should rock up and, you know, beat them 3 or 4-0. But they are League One. This is a team they should be beating, and I think they should be putting out there, you know, their full strength team. What about you?
Yeah, I think it's important because match sharpness is obviously a big thing this part of the season. And if you're going from the 27th of December to the 15th of January, without playing a competitive game, that is a long time in Premier League terms. So I'd say I agree with you. Name as a full strength squad as you can name, with the exception of a couple of players who may have niggles, COVID, whatever, and go for it, really. I'd like to see Newcastle give it a go in the FA Cup this season, but and they should have a stronger team by the end of the window to go for each other win on Saturday. But Joe, how would you feel about Newcastle giving it a right go in the cup competition, or would you say just stay in the Premier League first and foremost?
No, absolutely. I think go for it. I always think you should go for the FA Cup. I've always said that, even under previous owners, where relegation looked a bit of a worry, that, you know, that if we won the cup and got relegated, would that be, you know, would you still be feeling the same about a cup win in November if we're in the Championship? But even if we do get relegated this year, I do think the ownership and, you know, the resources we've got around the club would be enough to get us back out of the Championship for the first time of asking. So for me, I think you should just go for the FA Cup. We haven't had a day out in ages. You know, we haven't had, well, any days out, really. So why not go for it in May? Have thousands and thousands of Geordies up Wembley Way.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think I'd rather win the FA Cup and get relegated than just stay in the league and obviously not do anything in the FA Cup. Just winning a cup for Newcastle is massive. My opinion probably changes under the current owners than it would under Mike Ashley. I think getting relegated under Mike Ashley, although the two times Newcastle have, they've bounced straight back. It's a lot more daunting when you go down and you're under that cloud of Mike Ashley's ownership. Whereas I think even if Newcastle went down, there is hope for a more positive future, and an FA Cup win would be brilliant. But I think it's very unlikely still. I think even if Newcastle do improve the squad, winning the FA Cup would still be a minor miracle. So I'd like to see the club put as much focus as possible to staying in the league. If they can have a little cup run, that's a bonus. But we'll see what happens there. But for me, you want to be staying in the league, and any cup run would be a bonus. And I guess on this transfer window as a whole, we've seen Kieran Trippier more or less arrive at Newcastle, more names expected to follow. Joe, are you feeling more optimistic about Newcastle's chances of staying up now, 1 week into the transfer window, than you perhaps were on New Year's Eve or the last time we did this podcast?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, as you say, Newcastle's business so far has been good, assuming Trippier joins, as we all expect. And the, you know, their moves to get other players in early is good as well. And it's not just on the pitch for Newcastle, it's also, if you look at, you know, Burnley's recent form, I watched them against Leeds. They weren't very good against Leeds. Now, that's a bit, you know, that would give me hope that I think there's probably four teams that are going to go down this. They're going to go down, but I think there's Norwich, Burnley, Watford, yeah, and Newcastle are the three or four of them are going to go down. So we just have to be top of that mini league, I'd guess. And right now, I'd back us to finish top of that mini league.
Good stuff. And I guess we'll wrap it up there. In the meantime, you can follow all the latest Newcastle United news, transfer, gossip, everything over at the Shields Gazette website, and also by following Miles Starfeth, Joe Buck, or myself, Dom Skirt, on Twitter. We also have a transfer window subscription offer over in the Shields Gazette, which gives you an entire year's worth of unlimited ad-like access to all of our NUFC coverage for as little as 49p a week. Just head over to shieldsgazette.com/subscriptions for more information on that. But for now, Joe, it's been a pleasure. Thanks, everyone, for listening to the Mouth of the Time podcast. And we'll see you next week for what will hopefully be some more transfer news.